John chapter 1. I love light. I really love light. I really do. And we find that Scripture tells us here in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not made anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The older a person gets, the more light they want. Some people talk about the light as information. Other people talk about the light as the light that we have on in this room here. It's a little dark. One of these days, we're going to put a little bit more light in here. But right now, we got what we got, amen. And we praise the Lord for having some light, amen. Some people just wish they had some light. And the older we get, the more light we want. I was trying to read something yesterday and had to turn some more light on just so I could see it. It was small print. We want light to read. We want things to find things. The other day I was looking for something, and so thank God for your cell phone. Now you can get this little app that you can just turn it on and shine light. That's a wonderful. I use that thing more than I never believed. And we like more lights to drive with. Amen. I hate it when cars are approaching me and I have to have my lights on dim. Out here in Montana, you want to not only see the roadway, but you want to see the sides of the road. Amen. And I love spotlights. Amen. And that's not the game after game. I mean spotlight to see what's going on, amen. We like more lights in the house. And I remember my daddy used to say, good night. We'd be coming home from someplace at dark. He said, every light in the house is on. How many dad ever said that? Yeah, amen. Amen. And then I like more light in my garage. I got all kinds of fluorescent lights in my garage. Man, I don't know why I don't have them all hooked up to one switch and turn them on. But I'm switching, turn them on tomorrow. I like lots of lights. I like lots of lights inside my car. I don't know why in the world that they can't put lights in your car. They got the little dim dome light. I call it a dumb light. You can't even see nothing. Now, I do know one thing. Some of these Chrysler cars have come out with these big LED lights inside, and they light up the car pretty good. But I like lots of lights, amen. I like lights in my closet. Why don't they put lights in your closet? Explain that to me. Does this keep your clothes dark so they won't fade or something? I don't understand that. How come they only put one or two or three lights in the basement? Explain that to me. That's where you really need lights, amen. When I was a little boy, growing up on a farm in Michigan, we had a coal bin down in the basement. You don't know what a coal bin is. A coal bin is a place that you throw coal down in there, and it's a bin that has coal in it, and it's the boys' responsibility to go downstairs with a bucket of coal bucket and put coal in that and bring it back up and put it in your stove. Y'all have no idea what that is. And where there is coal, there's darkness. And when there's darkness, there's alligators and crocodiles and snakes and gorillas and all things would kill you down there. Rats and mice. My mama said, go down and get coal. I said, no. She said, what do you mean, no? I'm going to go down there. Why not? Because there's alligators down there. There are no alligators here. We live in Michigan. Yes, there is. There's great big lizards down there. I'm not going up. We don't have lizards in Michigan. Yes, we do. I saw one. Where did you see one? On the barn. Where? How big was it? Well, it was kind of a little guy like that. Well, that ain't going to hurt you. Go down and get the coal. No, I ain't going to get. Son, I said, go down and get the coal. I'm afraid. Why? Because that gorilla will chase me around down there and then they'll shit feed me to the lions. Son, there's no lions in Michigan. Yes, there is. I saw one in the zoo. And I'm telling you, I had my mind so set up there was things down there to kill me and eat me that I wouldn't go down there. This is what my mom, son, I wouldn't send you. Honey, I love you. I wouldn't put you down something to hurt you, would I? I said, well, then why don't your daddy have put lights down that basement? There's no lights down there. And I did a little guy, man. I was scared to death. I mean, I got the heebie-jeebies thinking about it, whatever the heebie-jeebies are. Amen. And finally, my mom said, okay, I'll go down with you. You know what? When my mama went down there, the alligator hid, the gorilla hid, and the snakes all hid, and I got the coal and brought it back up. I like lights. I like a lot of lights. I must be getting older all the time because I've loved lights. My favorite thing is the flashlight. How many have the flashlight? How many of your favorite thing in life is a flashlight? Yeah. I've got 6-cell flash, D-cell flashlights. I had a 3-cell flashlight that I took to camp and never did get it back. Amen. I love all kinds. Let me tell you a story. When I was a little boy, I was about 10 years old. I got it. You can turn it off. In preparations for going to Camp Barico Bible Camp in northern Michigan, my dad went down to my Uncle Earl's general store and bought me a super-duper, ever-ready, chromed flashlight. Man, it was the most shiniest chrome and a red cone on the end of it. It was so cool. I just knew that when I went to camp, I'd be the envy of the whole camp. When I arrived at camp, I carried my suitcase, sleeping bag. Wrong. That's before the sleeping bags were invented. I carried my roll of blankets and my pillow tied with baler twine. Well, that's a farm kid, amen. And especially, I couldn't wait to especially open up my suitcase because inside my suitcase was my super duty, ever ready chrome flashlight. Man, there it was. Yeehaw. I looked at it and gave it a try. Nothing. What do you mean nothing? That's what I said, nothing. Houston, we got a problem. I took it apart. I examined part by part. Spring looked good, check. Switch was good, check. Bulb looked like it was good. Battery. Oh, not the batteries. Houston, we've got a major malfunction. Houston. Final analyst was Shear. Maybe you didn't shut it off when you put it in your suitcase. Or too many times you were bragging about it and showing it off to your buddies before you left the church. Well, my super-duper, ever-ready chrome flashlight was dead. I mean graveyard dead. Discouraged, I went to the all-knowing, all-powerful counselor. And I said to him, sir, I've got a problem. My flashlight has a failure. And he said, no problem. At canteen time tomorrow. Tomorrow! Canteen time tomorrow, we'll fix your super-duper ever-ready chrome flashlight. Well, finally, after breakfast, after devotion, after cabin cleanup, after mission time, after chapel time, it's canteen time, amen. My counselor took me up to the canteen window, and they gave me my canteen card, then went back and told one of the staff I needed 2 D-cell batteries. And he said, no problem, that'll be $2. Now, let me point out a little problem here. Back in 1950s, if you bought $5 to camp, you were a high roller. I mean to tell you, you had enough cash to choke a mule. You had the big roll of money. I mean it filled up 2.5 canteen cards. That was big. That was when pop was a nickel in the bottle. Candy bars were a nickel. And most candy was a penny. With my lightning fast computer like mine, I figured out, well, it's Tuesday morning. I still have to go through Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday on the way home. I still have $1.25 if I bought the batteries. Okay, I'll take them. When I put them in the flashlight, I promised myself I will never turn on my super duper ever ready chrome flashlight until I need it in dire emergency. Well, I thought maybe I better check it out just once. I turned that thing on. What was that? Just a flash. I slid the thing on, slid it back, slid it on, slid it on. I bumped it. I shook it. I banged it. I slid the switch up and down. Nothing! Again! I shook it, bumped it, and banged it, and slid the switch. Nothing! Houston! We've got another problem here. Do you read me? Houston, are you listening to me? Back in the cabin, I told my counselor again. And he said, no problem. We'll take it down to the canteen tomorrow morning, and we'll get a new bulb for your super-duper ever-ready chrome flashlight. I could hardly sleep. I couldn't even think of nothing but my super-duper ever-ready chrome flashlight. Finally, after breakfast, after devotions, after cabin cleanup, after mission time, after chapel time, it was canteen time! Woo! My counselor took me back to the canteen window, got my card, went to the back door, told the staff what I needed, and he said, no problem. That'll be $1.25. All I had left on my canteen card was $1.25. It was Wednesday, and I still needed money for snacks for Thursday and Friday and money for food to get home. If I bought the bulb, I would be at one big, fat, goose egg, zero. No food to go home on either. Okay. I'll take it. I went back to my cabin, sat down on my bunk, and with hands as careful as a professional watchmaker, a brain surgeon, and a doctor, three in one, I delicately inserted the bulb into my super-duty, ever-ready chrome flashlight and waited for night to fall. As I left chapel, it was a really dark night. I carefully pulled my flashlight, my super-duty, ever-ready, chromed flashlight out of my back pocket and slid the switch forward and I may have been the poorest boy in camp, but buddy, I was the brightest. Because I had a super-duty, ever-ready chrome flashlight ever to shine down the paths of Camp Barakel that night. It was amazing. It lit up the path to my cabin. I guess what I say is, I love all kinds of light. First of all, I want you to think of this. I love light, especially the light of creation. The Bible says, the first day creation of the universe and light in the earth. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the day light, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. I love the light. Light gives place to life. If it were not for light, nothing would be able to survive. Energy gives off light. Light gives off heat. God began creation. One of the most significant miracles and magnificent miracle was that he brought forth light. Amen. A couple of years ago, we had everybody bring an Easter lily for the decoration of our church. And after Easter, I thought it would be great just to have them for a couple weeks. Just those beautiful, beautiful lilies. And some of you probably remember. The whole place is just covered. You walked in this place, it just smells so good, like spring. Well, we watered them and did everything a florist could do. But Wednesday night, after Easter Sunday, they lost their beauty. Why? They had no light. And all of them were looking pretty sad because they had no light. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you something. You look pretty sad when you're not in God's light. It's not very good to go around without God's light. God's light comes from the Word of God. There's a lot of Christians today that don't even bother to take the Word of God out. They bother doing other things and going about different tasks in their life. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get in God's light, you're going to be pretty dull. You're going to lose your strength. You're going to lose your beauty. It's going to zap you. And there's so many people that you tell them, hey, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. Get the light from God's Word. And you're drooping. You're zapped. I'm going to tell you something. All it was, Sunday, we brought them in here Sunday, and it was Wednesday, just a couple days, and those flowers had lost their luster and their beauty. Secondly, I love light, especially when it shines in darkness and we can see the truth. I love the reading of the Word of God that shows me the truth. You know, there's a lot of lies out there today and a lot of falsehoods out there today. And a lot of people are trying to tell you certain things that just are not so. You need to go to the light. You need to go to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The world is telling you, God didn't make this world. Or maybe God started a little bit and just took His hands off it. No. God created the heavens and the earth. God created. We can go and study the Word of God and say, there it is, right there. It proves to us that the Word of God is true. In Him was light, and the life was the, what? Light of men. We need light. I love light. I need the truth of the Word of God. There's some people who tell you a whole bunch of different things, and you go, good, nah, I never thought it that way. I've never read the Bible like that before. I've never seen anything like that. And by the way, it's not in there. It's but a figment of people's imagination to try to get everything away from you to keep you from believing that God truly is God and He is the ruler of this universe and He is the Savior of the world. And they're trying to tell you, hey, you can do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. You can't live to yourself. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, same as the beginning with God. In the beginning... In the beginning, all things were true. From the Word of God all the way back. There are so many times that we look at the Word of God and we say, what in the world? What am I doing this? Why would I even think about this? But I'm going to tell you something. There's a God in heaven that loves you very much. And He cares for you. And He wants you to live for Him. Boy, we have the creation. And then we have the Word of God that shows us the truth. Verse 1 again, in the beginning of all times, the creating existence, for the Word gave its being. Therefore, before the world was, or from all eternity, was the Word. He who is to God what man's word is to himself, the manifestation, the expression of himself to those without him, was God in substance, the essence of God, and was possessed of eternal and proper divinity. Verse 2, the same was the beginning with God. The same. See what properly of the Word stresses the laid upon His eternal distinctiveness. You don't see it unless you were to God. In the unity of God the Father, all things were made by Him. All things, absolutely. But put beyond question by that what follows, without Him was not anything, not one thing made, brought into being except through God. Listen, folks, we serve a mighty and magnificent and awesome and a powerful God. All that we have and all that we do, all that we ever will be, is because God has given to us. The Bible says that everything good and perfect comes from God. This is the proof that it was made. To the non-creationist, who believes that matter already existed billions and billions of years ago. The world just happened. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. In him was life. He is the essentially, and he is the origin or originality. He is where it all came from. And the previous verses showed by meaning, and he says, he thus is the living word. And he is called in 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 and 1 and 2, the word of life. It was him that brought it. He brings life to us. Hey, you're unsaved. You're dead in your trespass and sin. You invite Jesus Christ to forgive your sin. What happens to you? You become life. You become life everlasting. You have a promise of heaven someday. We were talking, my wife and I were talking the other day, and she said something about heaven. And I said, what are you scared about? She said, I don't know. I said, God has promised you life everlasting. He has written your name in the book of life. I said, God does not lie. Boy, God is so good. And all of a sudden she starts smiling again. Isn't it amazing how our brain kind of messes with us? And our brain kind of fools with us. And we start getting discouraged and despondent. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The light is in the Word of God. The life is in the Word. He is the Word. He is the life. Hey, don't forget it. Don't allow the world to try to take this light from you. It seems like the world is trying to zap everything it can away from us, believers that believe that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't let the world take that from you. Don't let it say, hey, I can go back to John 1. I can go back. There it is. The life, the light of men. All that in men which is true light and knowledge and integrity and intelligence and willing subjection to God and love to Him and their fellow creatures, wisdom and purity and holy joy and rational happiness, all this light of men has its fountain in the essential life of the Word of God. That's where it comes from. That's where it starts. Lewis and Clark, when they came through there, they're looking for the beginning of the Missouri River. And came out of St. Louis and came up the Missouri and kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and went through the gates of the mountain and got past Helena, and all of a sudden they came to what we call Three Forks today. And they found the beginning. The beginning. That's where it started. Let me tell you something. In the beginning, God. That's where it all begins. That's where we take all this and all the enjoyment that we have. Hey, the enjoyment of, you know what? I have life everlasting. The enjoyment of knowing that this is not it. I'm glad that this world is not it. This world sends us down some pretty rugged old roads. And as we were singing that song, I was impressed about what it said about pressing on. You know, we're pressing it. Sometimes it's not going downhill, amen? Most times it's going uphill. Most times we need to hook it in four-wheel drive and just chain up and get going, amen? That's a life. It's not easy. But it builds character. And it builds faith. That's why Paul the Apostle said, I'm confident in this very thing. I'm persuaded that neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers. That's why John said, I'm confident in this very thing. Why? Not because of a road of ease and a bed of roses, but because some difficulties along the road. It builds us up. It bulks us up. It makes us strong. And it hardens us. Not a bad harden, but a good harden. I remember when I was in college and came to college for football training camp, and all of a sudden I looked around, and before I was kind of the bigger guy in the football team when I was in high school, and I was 6 foot and 190 pounds, and I got to college and I looked at these guys, man, I look like the little guy. Great big old 275 pound and 280 pound guys and great big tall gigundous beef in Buffalo. They're huge. I'm going, hey, how you doing, fella?
Good to see you.
I wasn't used to smelling armpits, buddy. I was used to smelling it up in the clouds, amen. Some big guys. And boy, we started. And we started to practice and did a lot of push-ups and sit-ups and leg lifts and jumping around and running around and starting to hit the sleds. And all of a sudden, we started hitting each other. And boy, the first week, I'm telling you what, I was black and blue. I lived on the third floor of this building. And I had to climb those three flights of stairs. And I will tell you something, the first day wasn't too bad, but the second day it was setting in. And the third day was burning. You know what it means to burn? My legs just, they would just shake and they burned. My arm burned. And I'd get to the step, the flight of steps, and I'd say, oh man. I know there's a bed up there, amen. I just lay right down there and just die. It felt a lot better. Man, I started to go up there stairs and I learned something. If you yell, first of all, you wake everybody else up. But secondly, it doesn't hurt so bad. Oh, run up them stairs and drop on the bed in fetal position. Oh, and you couldn't get a place where something didn't hurt. Second week, wasn't too bad. Third week, you didn't yell. You just, you were up there, jumping bed. Ah, life is good. But I learned something. All that hurting, it goes away. It's not so bad after a while. And the heartaches in our lives that we hit face on, boy, it hurts right at first, doesn't it? Thank God, God takes the pain away. And we say, dear God, I can't do this. Ever been there? I can't do this. I can't do this. You know, something inside of me when I was playing football says, I'm going to do this whether it kills me or not. And I know it's going to kill me. Because it's feeling like that right now. But I looked around and I see my other buddies, they're hurting too. And my thought was, if they hurt, I can hurt. And after a while, it'll be okay.
Amen.
And it was okay. And came to the first game. Oh my, you felt invincible. You'd run into guys and they'd bounce off you. Man, that was good. It was just good to run into them as hard as you could. Slap them on the ground. And then help them up. There's just something inside. You know what? The Christian life is kind of like a football game. A lot of people get hurt in them. Good players get hurt. Stupid things happen. You can't explain it. Some of your best guys get hurt, and all of a sudden, because of that, you lose your game. You lose your Super Bowl ring. But in your Christian life, God says, I've got something good for you.
Amen.
Life is tough. I don't care who you are. It's tough. If it isn't tough yet, it's going to get there. There's going to be times in your life you're going to wonder, will I make it? There's going to be times in your life you're going to say, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a God who is the God of light who shines enough for us to get by. David, the writer, talks about one step at a time, the night, the light of the day, that one little light.
Excuse me.
I've never done that before in my life. Sneezing when I'm preaching. So now I'll never say that again. The Bible said the light shineth the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The word comprehend, I'm going to really surprise you here. I'm going to give you a Greek word. Katalombio. In the Greek, it carries with it Catalan, it captures this idea, something that they could not lay hold of the light. They could not lay hold of it, or they could not see it, or could not make one's own, could not obtain it, could not attain to it, could not seize upon it or take possession to lay hold with their mind, to understand, to perceive, to learn. In other words, you've heard them say, well, I just don't get it. How can you Christians believe that stuff? Well, they can't comprehend it. They can't comprehend it. That's why we have a lot of people trying to write you a brand new Bible. They want it so that the world can understand. This is a spiritual understood Bible. This is a spirit Bible. It is from God's holy word. You can't understand this word of God unless you have Jesus Christ in your heart and the Holy Spirit living in you. That's why every time you open that Bible, you ought to pray this prayer, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to see in this Bible. Give me light that I can hear that. Give me light. Give me comprehension that I can understand the Word of God. It's not that the world needs another Bible written so they can understand it. It's they need the Holy Spirit in their heart so they can understand it. Or we just want to make it so it's in, let's make a Reader Digest so that everybody can understand. You know what? That Reader Digest, if you'd be amazed about this, they've taken that Reader Digest over to California. They have a computer over in California. That everything the school books are written on, they put it in this computer, and it'll tell you what grade level it is. And the grade level of the Reader Digest Bible is way higher than the King James Bible. It is spiritually discerned. You don't need another Bible. You need a Holy Ghost transformation. You need salvation in your heart, in your life. I just don't get it. Many of us have asked the question, why can't men see God's love for them? He has given His only Son the remission of their sins, eternal life. And this is what the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Good idea to write that verse down. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I love the light. I love the light. Number three. I love light because it shows what is in the darkness. Shows what is in the darkness. Have you ever noticed at night you laying in bed and you got to go someplace? And your mind says, hey, we can make it. Don't turn the lights on. And your feet says, no, I ain't going to do all that way. I've bumped my big toe too many times. I'm not going to go. The mind says, no, you can make it. And a toe says, no, I ain't going to do it. And all of a sudden, the mind takes over matter, and it don't matter because your mind don't matter. And you take out, and wham! You hit something with your toe. And your toe's jumping up and down, yelling and screaming. The mind says, yeah, maybe you should have turned the light on. Huh? Light shows the obstacles. Light shows the Legos, the army men. Things that should not be in the ground when you're walking on. John 1:5, the light shineth in darkness. Darkness hides sin. Darkness hides wrong, the minds of men. Man is naturally wont to hide in darkness. He evades away from the light of God's protection. He shuns to think of the consequence of sin. He tries to stay away from Christ because Christ is the light of the world. And stays away from his salvation. He hates the thought of conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. And he works because it works on his soul. Despises the power of the Scriptures of truth and the doctrines of the gospel. Mankind hates to be around Christians who are living a separated life before God and man. They don't like being around there because of what does it do? It convicts Sabbath brings light to their stupidity and their shame. God created an annoying creature. Man loathes knowledge of his sin. Someday, at his death, he will finally be banished from the presence of the Almighty God and the fountain of life and light, which will be eternally put out and never, never again see light again for all eternity. How sad is that? I love light. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Acts chapter 2 and verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Let's just face it. Mankind does not want to come to the light. They know that their life is wicked, and if they were to come to the Almighty Light, it would shed light upon their deeds of their evil. John 8:12, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12:35, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whatsoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. One of these days, the light of the gospel will be turned off. Man will forever be in darkness. That's pitiful.
Amen.
Can you imagine today if we just turn the lights off? Says, okay, you can leave. I mean, turn the lights off. You turn the lights off in this room, this church. Now, of course, we have these little lights, but boy, I remember when we didn't have those little lights. I remember when we didn't have lights to show our way through here. Man, we bump into things and run into things. And as always, hopefully somebody came to the church before you did, because most people didn't know where the lights were. One of these days, listen to me, people. One of these days, the light's going to be turned off. And there's no hope. There's no way. Most of all, I love the light, for he is the light of the world. Jesus said that was the light, true light, the light of every man that cometh into the world. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, the light has come to the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commendeth the light to shine in darkness, has shined in the hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:8 and also 14. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I love this song. It's called The Light of the World is Jesus. The whole world was lost in darkness is sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, the glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. We dwell, ye dwellers in darkness, with sin's blinded eyes. The light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of sunshine in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus, the Lamb of the light of the gold, the light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the light is Jesus. I love light. A couple years ago, Casey and his boys came over to put up our outside Christmas lights. Did I tell you I love lights? That year we put on some extra lights, these icicle white lights on our house. And I got a call from Great Falls International Airport Tower and called me to turn my lights off between 9:30 and 10 because Delta Airlines jets were trying to land on top of my house. I'm teasing. Are you the light of the world? Can people see your heart? I got a lot of lights in my house. I got a lot of flashlights. I got extra lights and bulbs. I always loved lights. But the greatest light I ever received when I was 14 years old at a youth conference in Lansing, Michigan, I asked the light of all lights to come into my heart. Have you done that? Have you done that? Or are you that one that's hiding your light under a bushel? Do you love Jesus? Do you love light? Father in heaven, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise that you've given us for those who trust you as their Savior. I pray today that you'd move within us today and that we would trust you and we'd adore you and we'd thank you for all you've given to us. Lord, so many times folks go through this world blinded. They're like just blinded. They don't know which way to turn, which way to go. And I pray, Heavenly Father, today that we would come to the light that's shining to us through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray there'd be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day. Would you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, speak to their heart. Give them light today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today, say, "Preacher, I don't have that light. I don't know Jesus is my Savior." Boy, I sure need to. Pastor, would you pray for me today? I received the light. I'd ask Jesus to be my Savior. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm the one that's, I've got the light, but it's under a bushel. Under a bushel basket. Nobody can see it. I'm not that one like the light of that place on the shining hill. I've covered my light." Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now as we have this time of invitation. Would you meet with us today? May we walk close to you, and may we trust you, the great light of all, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Can I ask everyone to stand? You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I sure want to know that. Why don't you just step out of that seat, come down the aisle. Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you'd go to heaven." Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come? Why don't you do what the Bible says?" Or are you just going to hide your light under a bushel basket? You got what you want, but you don't really care about anybody else. Maybe you're here today and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come at this time?"